porque Él vive. Because He lives.
Aleluya. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, musicians. So, here we are. And this is the better place that I like to be this morning. And where we are, that is what I want to be.
Amen. So, I guess Brother Doug and Brother Andy are out. And we just already pray for them. So now you pray for me. Because I'm left with the back, you know. So just pray for me. I'm trying to get my nervousness out. Because I'm glad that I'm nervous, because then I need him. If I wasn't nervous, then I would be worried. But I think that I need him every minute. So let us pray again. Father, we thank you for this day, Father, call it Easter. We are celebrating, commemorating, Father, your death and your burial and your resurrection. Tonight you are alive. And because you are alive, I am alive as well. I got a hope, Father, because I cannot die any longer, no more. We thank you, Father. We know what you went through. The suffering, Father, and the crucifixion on Friday. As we celebrate this Easter week. But Father, I am so glad that you had the power to take your life and raise it up again. And you prove who you were. You were God in flesh. If that resurrection never happened, then we would be lost in our sins. But thank you this morning for redeeming us, Father, from the curse of that law, from sin. Amen. Father, we ask you to be with us right now. Father, we need you. We need you more than ever this morning. Be with our pastor and be with our Brother Andy, wherever they are. Let it be a blessing, Father, to the people. And Father, we love you this morning. Father, have your way. Whatever you have for us, that is what we want. Because you always are perfect. And you know exactly what we have need this morning. I don't even know what I need. But I'm so glad that you do. Because I need you to direct me and to lead me, Father, in this journey that you have chosen us to be in, Father. And we love you this morning. Again, have your way. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. You can be seated. But before you sit, hold on. This is just an exercise, so make sure you stay awake. Let's sorry. 1 Corinthians 15. Just to honor the word. Amen. He says, moreover, brethren, declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and therefore you stand, by which also you are saved. I'm so glad that this gospel came to save me. That was the purpose he came, to save us. If you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. I'm so glad too. We have not believed in vain. This is our hope. This message will take us out of here. This message will transform us. And if you don't do that, I'll be disappointed. But I know God will not disappoint me. For I deliver unto you first all that which I also have received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and then rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of 12. Cephas was the two that were going to the, way to Emmaus. He appeared to them.
And then to the 12 disciples. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, are still alive in the time of Paul, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James also, and then all the other apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also. Huh. How interesting. He wasn't even in that 12 apostles. Huh? He wasn't even following. He was trying to persecute, actually. But we're going to explain that. As one born out of due time. Amen. So the title of my sermon today is The Real Meaning of Easter. Amen. Amen. So you can be seated. The Real Meaning of Easter. So, what is Easter? We celebrate in Easter today, and we know that Easter is one of the, you know, principal holidays of the year, you know, like Christmas. And we are celebrating today, you know, Christianity will celebrate today Easter. I think they celebrated Easter from the east all the way to the west, you know. This morning, since the first one woke up in the east, and then in Korea, Japan, you know. Then it came to America, and now we are in the coast, 3 hours different. They already preached out there in the east. Brother Doug already preached his morning sermons out there in Maryland. He woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He texted me, you know, God bless you and the Lord use you. And I look at the time. Oh, my goodness, it's three hours. I said, I answered you when I woke up. And I just, so he's done. So, this commemoration of the resurrection today of Jesus Christ, after 3 days that he was dead and was crucified after the crucifixion, 3 days by the Romans, then he resurrected today. And that is what we are celebrating today. Amen. So, I know the secular world, you know, unbelievers, and some religious people also today, they have eggs. And they have these egg hunt extravaganzas, you know. Because the egg became a symbol of rebirth, new life, emerging, you know, from the eggshell. Just like Jesus went into the tomb and he rose again in this day of resurrection. But however, you know, that still came from a pagan, you know, celebrations. These days, you know, Easter, even as far as Babylon, 2,400,000 years before Christ, they used to celebrate. And they had their goddess and they worship all this. You know, they celebrate the equinox. This is the end of the winter and the beginning of the spring. That it, life comes out in the spring. That's why people argue that Jesus could not be died in December. He should have came up when life, you know, comes in the spring. But we don't know. So we leave that alone. But Easter that we celebrate today is rooted in ancient, you know, pagan traditions. And even they, especially, you know, like I said, in Babylon and other places, that's where the thing came from. And we paint eggs, people paint eggs, and the Orthodox, they paint the eggs red to signify the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They had intertwined, you know, beliefs, truth with traditions. And that is one of the things we're going to see. But nevertheless, Easter remains for a Christian, you know, a special holiday. Even though it's a holiday and we're celebrating Easter, it's still, it has a special meaning to you and me, different than the world. So I'm not trying to say that don't celebrate Easter. I'm just saying, you know, it's something different for us. It's a different meaning. And that's what I want. What is the meaning of? Brother Branham says, we see Easter not in a way of a theology.
So that means it's not a doctrine. See? It's not something that is divine inspired in the scriptures. They have no authority in the scripture. But he says, not in that way so much. We never seen Easter wearing new clothes. You know, we don't celebrate Easter. A Christian don't celebrate wearing new clothes. Nothing wrong to buy you new clothes. We never see Easter. Seeing Easter, it means understand. That's the way, the understanding that we have on Easter. As little rabbits and color eggs. We see Easter as the power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a real Easter. And he also said here in Raising of the Sun, and now not only is a memorial, you know, a commemoration, an honoring, a celebration day of all these great Easter flowers and Easter bonnets and pink rabbits and so forth, that we got into a holy celebration, which is all right. You know, don't go now and tell that I'm against Easter and I'm against doing things. No, it's okay. But it is not the real thing. Amen. In that kind of a way. As people today are trying to say we should wash feet once a year. Now, Brother Branham is trying to show that Easter is a tradition. But if we are not careful, we can make traditions out of our own doctrines. That's why he's talking about Easter. Suddenly he injected that thing in there. You know, okay. People today are trying to say we should wash feet once a year. On Thursday, on Friday, we should take communion. And all different doctrines. They argue about whether it should be this day or that day, whether it should be Sabbath day, first day of the week. All these things are what? Traditions. You say, how can it be tradition washing feet? Well, let's see what a tradition. What is a tradition? A tradition is a doctrine that believed to have a divine authority, but it's not in the Bible. No, and that's what Brother Branham's saying, and that is what traditions are. Tradition had no life. I cannot justify Easter. Easter is not in the Bible. See? But somehow it kind of creeps, you know? And that's what Brother Branham says. Sometimes communion, you know, we do communion. It's an ordinance. And we wash feet. It's an ordinance. But however, to make a doctrine, you have to do it this day, this way, once a month, 6 months, once a year. See? Now it becomes a tradition. A tradition because now somebody's trying to inject something that they came from another church or they came from another place and they come to this church and they said, well, we don't do this thing that way where I came from. Okay, fine, don't inject it here. Now you're here, but if you came over here, why don't you go back where you came from? You like that way better. You know? It's like this. You can take the person from the denomination, but you sometimes cannot take the denomination from the person. And they bring all the baggage. And even people that come from other churches, message churches, years, they'd like to come and say, well, this is not the way we used to do that, or this is not the way we used to do that. Yeah, but you just left there. You sure don't want to go back. So, you know, this is how we do, you know, communion. We do it once a month, the first Sunday of the month, and we do it throughout the year. Some people do it 6 months, some people do it once a year. That's okay. Why? Because that is the way we decided, because as a church, we're autonomous. If we make it, see, making a doctrine that we have to, everybody has to do it the same way. But see, we don't have a headquarters to get this thing be filtered in. Whatever the Holy Ghost in this church indicates, the things that we should see and we should learn and we should move into, that's what we do. I mean, that's the kind of pastor that I want. I don't want a pastor to start to figure out what everybody else is doing so we can do the same. That's traditions. It was a brother here and that left the church because we didn't carry out
you know, communion the way they were doing it in his church. Message believer. Well, you know, he wanted that the bread will be burned before dawn. You know how that's a ritual back in the Old Testament. The sacrifice has to be burned before the sun come up, whatever is left of it. So we don't do that here. We just give it to the kiddies, you know, they can eat it. And Brother Doug checked with Jefferson and the people that knew Brother Branham, that's what Brother Branham used to do. He never burned it. But some people come over here with this thing from all the churches, all the traditions, and they want to bring them over here. And that's what Brother Branham is saying. Be careful. Because if it's not founded on the scriptures, it will be a tradition. But I'm so glad that we have the truth. And I'm so glad that our pastor preaches the truth. And I can stake my life in the truth. Amen. The difference between a doctrine and a tradition and the truth is that a tradition has no life. Because it will not be the word of God. It's something that somebody made up and sold it to us like a divine inspired revelation. But it has no life. Because nothing beside the word of God has life. So I don't want tradition. I want the life. And the word is life and spirit. Amen. So, Jesus said, making the word of God of none effect, traditions, through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like this, do you. So see, tradition makes the word of God of none effect. So you come in because you want life. And the word of God can give you life. The word of God can change you, transform you. The word of God can make a new person out of you, a new sister. But see, that's what I want. I don't need tradition. Because tradition, I come in, I might enjoy the service, I might run around, I might do all this stuff, but when I live here, what do I have? Nothing changes. When I go out there, I'm the same person. You know, I want to be changed. So, traditions are okay in a way, but Jesus says, the word has no effect. The word cannot work in you because traditions are kind of a mixed things between the truth and something else. And once you inject something into the word, it's death. However, not all traditions are bad. Now, don't go out there and say, well, all traditions are bad. No. This is what Paul says in 2 Titus 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught. So not all the traditions. Now, in this sense, what he's talking about, whether by word or by epistle, see? He's talking about traditions that are divine inspired like Paul. Paul wrote them. This is how you should carry yourself. This is how this should be done. He set in the New Testament completely. See, he said, and if another angel from heaven comes and teach anything contrary to what I teach, let it be a curse. Why? Because there won't be life. And Paul says to that there are certain traditions, you know, that are not bad. But in this sense, traditions means like something that has an authority is based on truth. You know, it's not something that is not based on truth, but it's truth. The word tradition used over here, it is the same thing as something that is based on the word of God, divine inspired. Paul, everything that he wrote was divinely by revelation. So if we want a tradition that is according to the word of God, then it's fine. I'd like to say something here, but I don't know. I took it out of my notes, but it just keep coming. You know that we can make tradition out of coming to church? But however, you know, coming to church, the Bible says it, you know. Do not forsake the assembly, you know. Even in those times that are coming right now, that we are. So in this case, you know, if we can come to church 52 weeks a year, you know,
three times a year, you know, 156 times a year. But if we do it because tradition, then you come in and you live the same way you come in, you're even worse. Why? Because tradition has no life. So that means coming to church is a good tradition. I don't know who set it up on Sundays. We do because it's the day of resurrection. I don't know who decided Wednesday. When I came into this thing, I already this thing is set up. But that's a good tradition. That we assemble ourselves together. Doesn't matter what day, whatever day it is. See? But it will become a tradition if we do not follow the whole truth. Because without the life, without the Holy Spirit, you can come. And that's okay. You know, we have to listen, you know, to the gospel through the mind. And let it drop to your heart. And then if you, God will open your understanding, you need to receive the Holy Ghost. But it, nothing like that happened, and you come and you come and you come and nothing change, then it's tradition. I'm not saying don't come, come. Because we're praying that God will touch your heart where I'm talking to this morning. That God will reveal to you the truth. And then church becomes a different story. See? Again, coming and not coming is traditions. When we decide when and why, and I don't need to, church don't save. I agree. But it's a good tradition. So, regardless the save on the pastor don't save you and any, but at least it's a good tradition because if you come, you could be saved. You never know. God set it up this way. Now somebody can talk to you out there about the Lord and you can receive the Lord. But what is the first thing we do? Find a church, Brother Van says. Find a good church, a good pastor. See? Because we need to grow. That's where we grow. This is where we get fed. See? So for me, it's a good tradition. But here it says, therefore, 2 Titus 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you have been taught, whether by word or by the epistle. Now the next one, 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, because the letter killeth, he says, but the Spirit gives life. See? So when we come to church, that's what we after, the life. See? Then it's good doctrine. But you know, I know people that they, well, do you have a church, a good entertainment? How many academic musicians? Do you have a good Sunday school, a good youth program? But see, that's all tradition. It's not wrong. I like it, but it's just the attitude, you know, we approach these things, see? Sunday school is good. The kids need to learn. But however, it is the Spirit that gives us life. We are not after the things. We are after the life. Oh, but I don't like that song that the brother sung. Tradition. Because now, you know, you want to tell us what song to, we should sing. That's tradition. Right. So, brother Brandon, it's time to warn us. Be careful. Because we call it a tradition, but be careful because sometimes we have traditions. We make traditions. And in tradition, there's no life. And I want the life. So that is what I'm trying to talk about, traditions. But here's what Brother Brandon says also. Therefore, if God raised up Jesus from the dead, we're going to see what the meaning now is, that he raised him from as a memorial. Well, he has a question. He raised up for us memorial. And is this resurrection morning only one day out of the year or certain day to celebrate this? Or we are benefactors of the resurrection? You know, supporters, you know. People support, you know, tidings and all that. That's supporting, you know, some activity that the church had that day, you know, that extravaganza, you know, it was so much money for the kids and so much candies, you know, benefactor of the resurrection. He says, what does it mean to me? Brother Branham says, what does it mean to you? Because you're here for a reason. Right. We're celebrating Easter, but what does it mean to you and me? Now, we believe by faith that he raised from the dead, but what has that got to do with me? That was 2,000 years ago. See? Easter, like I said, is not in the scripture. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is in the scripture. So, I know they set up Easter and occurs in this time, you know, from the weekend of Good Friday that he died to Sunday, that is Easter. So, but it's still a significant holiday, you know, for Christians. And it holds a deep spiritual meaning for us. And that's what we need to find, the meaning. See? We don't want to be involved in traditions, but we want to know the meaning of what we're celebrating. We celebrate Christmas. That's another tradition. But I'm not saying not to celebrate Christmas. You know, in any way, I don't even want to say, but in any way you want to celebrate Christmas. Let me tell you one thing. We don't speak too much about Christmas and what people do in Christmas because we don't have a doctrine for that. As far as I know, and all the messages that I read and everything that I heard from the pulpit, that's not a doctrine not to. And if we do, will be a tradition. We make a doctrine. That's why you don't hear in this church preaching about Christmas and Christmas trees and this. Why? We cannot support that. If you do, let me know. If you know what Brother Van said not to do this, let me know. But I haven't. So I could be wrong, but I haven't. And my pastor haven't. So that's why we leave it alone. Not to make, careful not to make a doctrine because it becomes then a tradition. If we say not do that because that is tradition. Well, so we cannot be careful with, like Brother Brown said, with those things. If we don't have the proof, then we leave it alone. So he says, let's see where I was at. I lost my brain. So yes. So, but it has a deep meaning, a spiritual meaning for us this day. So, Brother Brown says again in the greatest new flash in history, but we allow Easter one day in the year. That's our Easter. One day in the year is an Easter. Every day in the year is apt to be Easter. So now, Brother Brown is saying, you know, not just come to church once a year or in Christmas. Some people do that. Well, not here, but in other denominations. They go twice a year. He says, that is okay, but he said, Easter, and that's what JJ preached, pray. He says, let it be today and every day it should be, Brother Brown says. Not just Sundays. That's why we come on Sunday, because we want to celebrate what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. We were ahead of these people. They're doing it one a year. But we do it what? Every Sunday. But Brother Brandon is saying now, make it more clear, you should have it every day. He says, Easter, every day should be a thrill. I mean, it's a thrill this morning when I woke up. I resurrect every day, you know. And I said, praise the Lord. Thank you. I'm alive. I'm well. You know, nothing hurts. Sometimes things hurt. But see, I experience my resurrection every day. I go down and I come back up. Every day should be a thrill. So when you wake up in the morning, are you thrilled? That is a resurrection morning? Or just once a year? But you know what? They have mixed up the message of Easter. Here we go. Tradition. Mixed it up. He said, and they have mixed it with color eggs and corsages and new bonnets and rabbits. And therefore the Easter, it's just a propaganda, and that Christmas is the same way because they have mixed it up. But to the believer, how many believers do we have here this morning? Do they believe that knows day by day they live in an Easter because he has risen from the dead and he is alive evermore in our hearts? Amen. Hallelujah. I love that. He resurrected in my heart. Making himself known to his church day by day. Amen. The signs shall follow them that believe. Oh, so if you believe what I just read and what your prophet just said, then it should not be only in words. It should be in demonstration.
If you have that resurrection in your heart, then it should, you know, manifest itself. That's why the Easter once a year don't manifest anything. It's just tradition. It's dead. You're not supposed to change anybody or do anything. But he says over here, this sign shall follow them that believe. So if you walk every day, you know, in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, you know, when you go to work, when you go to school, when you do this thing, you, wherever you go at Walmart, and you are behaving like a Christian, full of the Holy Ghost, and people can see, you know, that Jesus lives in your heart. Now you are proving the power of the resurrection of Jesus. He's alive and well, and he lived in my heart. We just saw. That is the real resurrection. That is the real Easter. Now, Paul says in Philippians 3:10, I don't know if we have it. No, I don't have it in my notes. Philippians 3:10, you can look for it. That I may know him. This is Paul. This should be our cause. Oh, too. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Because that spirit that was in him that raised that body from the dead, from the tomb, that is the same power that I want. I don't want something to put me in the ground. I want something to take me out of the ground. So he said, I want to know him by his power or his resurrection. And this is what you're here for. Power and the fellowship of what? Suffering. Maybe, okay, I take the power. I don't know about suffering. But you don't have to suffer to be saved. That's already paid. Some people, you know, have this kind of attitude. And they teach it that way in some places like the Catholic Church and some other places. That you have to suffer. This is not that kind of suffering. This is the suffering like builds character in you. The situations, the circumstances that come into your life. Just like Jesus, you just suffer. And he learned what? Obedience. And you're going to suffer, but you're going to learn what? Character. Okay? Obedience, and that produces character. But it's not suffering so we can be, you know, safe. Being made comfortable unto his death. Comfortable, that means that you know that death has no part in you. And if you die, you know that death has no business with you. And you can comfortably go. Why? Because you know that death cannot claim anymore. Satan cannot claim anymore. You are free. See? So he said that I may be comfortable in his death. So when that time comes, I am just comfortable. Because I cannot die no more than God can die. I'm just going to change what? Places. And Philippians 3:11 says, if by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Now, let us change here. The pace a little bit. Let me show you share with you the essence of Easter. Okay? The three and only one, which I'm gonna choose three principal beliefs that are the core of our Bible proof to celebrate Easter. Okay? Not just one time a year, every day. Remember? Every day. So, first thing, let's read what Paul says in the verses that we read at the beginning. Let's go back to it slowly and let's kind of, you know, pull them apart and get some information out of there, get some life out of there, because that's what we hear. 1 Corinthians 15:3, it says, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also what? Receive. How Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So what is Paul saying? By revelation from God himself and not from man. See? So that is the first thing. We have a revelation, you know, of what Easter is all about. Because man did not taught us that. And Paul is saying, I'm delivering to you that I was given by God. It wasn't tradition. It was a revelation. And everything. You had to receive revelation. Remember what Brother Man said? revelation. We should have revelation. If we need something today, the more we need is revelation, more revelation. Why? Because revelation is the understanding of who is him and what he wants you to do. See, and then you don't have to depend. Well, let me ask my pastor what he wants me to. Oh, no, I understand some situation. You know, you need some spiritual guidance and counseling. I'm not talking about that. But by revelation, you know, we all should know exactly. You know, and we can put the stake down. You know, I had a revelation. I know what that means. So by revelation, God himself, not by man. Galatians 1:11-12 said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which I preach of me is not after man. And I can tell you the same thing. This message is not after man. The same way that Paul received his revelation, Brother Brown did not get this from man or from any other, you know, church. He got this straight from the mouth of God. It was revealed. And that's why we follow it. See? We follow that revelation. For neither I received it of man, neither were I taught it. He said, I didn't make this up. You know, some people in this message, they have their private revelations. They teach themselves these things. See, you have to be that base tradition. But Paul says, I didn't make this stuff. I didn't, you know, made it up. It was given to me by revelation. He was so sure. He was so sure by that the revelation of Jesus Christ, he says. So sure, he says, if another angel, I told you, come. That's how sure he was. And you need to be sure this morning about your revelation. See? Because I know God has to you, man, has to you as a pastor, to preach. But that word should become a revelation. If he don't become a revelation, it will not become flesh. And that's what you're here for, because you want the word of God to become flesh. That's what I want. Life, the same life that was in Jesus. I want this message to take over me. If this message don't do what it says it's going to do, I'll be disappointed. But I know that I know by revelation, not from a pulpit or a man, they preach. But they didn't give me that revelation. That's what I'm here. Because God gave me a revelation. And you have to have the same revelation. See? Because if you don't, you follow whatever. See? If you don't have a target, you know, you follow whatever. You know, you can hit anything or nothing. You need to have a target. See? So he says, by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Branham, in the fifth seal, he says, well, I said, if this group goes in, you know, the group of Paul, because he was caught up in the third dimension, and he saw the vision, and he saw all the ages, all the prophets of every age, and all the people with them, and Brother Branham was joined, and the voice told them, you know, this is what this all is. And somebody said, and they got to be judged. And Brother Branham said, what? So he says, Brother Branham said, well, if his group goes in, so mine, because I preach exactly what Paul preached. If that group is going to go in and it's going to be just what Paul preached, I preach the same thing. And the crowd says, what? We are depending on that. And that's why this morning we have a revelation and depending that our pastor, pray for your pastor, that God will use him and give him inspiration and understanding and manna from above so he can preach us the truth. But your spirit had to agree with his spirit. See? That is the truth. The word that comes over this pulpit. If not, then there's something wrong. We're still kind of wishy-washy. Oh, I don't know about that. Oh, I don't know about that. Listen, when God reveals something to you, that ends the doubting. That ends to be stable. You know, a man that had, you know, trying to decide between two thoughts. I am sold out. I've been in this message, I don't care, 30, 40 years now. I'm sold out. I came out of the Baptist. Yeah, but the Baptist didn't have no life. You know, but God has to bring me through there. Anyway, but I'm so glad that God came and met me and changed me. My family, none of my family, but they have their own religions, and I was brought up in that religion too, and that was fine. Because it's just like the eaglet in the chicken barn, you know what I mean? Sometimes you're picking at there, and just like the chickens, you're imitating, see? Why? Because that's all you know, but that's all I knew. But one day, that changed. Because when Jesus met me, that changed everything. And I know that I know that I know that this is truth. The death of Jesus Christ is the sacrifice for our sin, Paul was saying. And this is principle and foremost important to us and essential, you know, to the gospel structure of salvation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, "For I deliver unto you by revelation, I deliver unto you that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture." Now, Brother Brown said, now, that is the greatest week in history. This week that just passed. The greatest celebration of all times. This is Easter, and we are he, and it's where he proved what he said it was. If there wasn't no resurrection, we lost in our sins. See, he proved what he said he was. He was a savior. And he came to save that was lost. See? But if he don't die, none of this thing would have happened. So, he tried. He says, Lord, can this, there's some other way that this cup can pass? In Gethsemane, he says, I probably didn't hear anything because I do that. Sometimes I ask God for things and then you have to listen. And something, no answer. So don't take no answer. Well, okay, it's okay because he hasn't said anything. No. When I don't get no answer, I said, okay, then it's not what I need to do. Don't take it the other way around because some people want to do what they want to do regardless. So they say, well, I asked, but he didn't say anything. Okay, it's okay. No. If you don't answer, stand fast. Don't move until you hear from God. Amen. You know, this is my way because his ways are perfect. It's a great celebration, the Easter, where he proved that what he said, man can say things, but yet isn't exactly, you can't believe upon, or you cannot, when a man speaks, if it's man's words, you cannot trust a man. You cannot trust my words as a man, but you can trust God. But the spirit that you have will give witness to my spirit, to the spirit that is here, that is the same spirit there, that's true. And you can say amen, thank you. One amen. See? And Brother Brown said, even if what I said is not found in the scriptures, but it's truth, you still can say amen. That spirit will say amen to that spirit that is in me. He said, man can say things, but yet it necessarily can be delivered upon, see? Until it has been proved to be the truth. And as God, who says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, you know, be firm on that, he would not tell you to do something that he would not do himself. Amen? So, he proved who he was, that he came to die for our sin. Here's what the scriptures said. We need to bring you to the scriptures because that is what your anchor is. No? Sometimes we hit all these highlights, but if we don't take you to where the Bible says it, then you're not anchored. Because like that, you can say, I know what I believe. See? And that's why we read the scriptures. We need to take you to the scriptures. Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forward Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's why the angel told Mary. And he shall save his people from what? Their sins. So Paul was saying, that's why he died, to save us from our sins. John 24:8, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sin. For if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. It's a model. This is God in flesh. He says a human being for the first time opens and mentions that word, I am. God told Moses, I am who I am. And what he's saying is, you don't believe that I am God,
that I am God in flesh, you shall die in your sins. John 18:6, as soon then as he has said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. This is when he was arrested, you know. And the soldiers of the came to pick him up. They asked him, he says, who seek ye? And he says, they said, we're looking for Jesus. He says, I am. How first time this word comes out of a human body. You know, the I am of the Old Testament and is here in the New Testament. And suddenly when that word releases, I am, they fell backwards and the earth shook. Why? For the first time, God in flesh speaking, I am. Jesus is saying, I am. See? For my eyes have seen thy salvation. That's Luke 2:30. So, he came to save us. He came to prove who he was. He was God in flesh. He was our kinsman redeemer. And he came to prove who he was. In fact, I like what Brother Doug was preaching about the deed. See, you cannot claim a deed. You cannot get a penny out of what they leave you unless that is someone dies. It has to be, you know, the testator has to die for you to receive the inheritance. And we have an inheritance. Mm-hmm. We have. But he has to die. And I'm glad that he died that day and he resurrected, because my deed happened to be clear. He cleared my deed from beginning to end. All the claim that was in my deed, when he died, he clears all that out. Our brother was preaching. So that's the benefit, not only to save us, but now we have a clean deed. We never done it in the first place. And Satan cannot find no claims. I had a house one time it was a VA loan. I don't know if you know a little bit about VA loans, but usually you can take over a VA loan without going through credit check. You know, if somebody owns a house and it's a VA, you know, you can assume the payments. And whatever agreement you come with the lady or the man, you give money or not, or you swap something anyway, but you don't have to be going through any credit check or anything to see if you can. Just those kind of loans. So I took over the house and we agree, and you do a quick claim. You had to, you know, that, you know, what you're doing. But what happened was that I didn't know then, and now I know, that the house did not belong to me to begin with. And it didn't belong to the lady. That house been sold so many times that it belongs to a guy about 5 feet way back there. And it happened to be my brother-in-law. And I didn't know. Yeah, I knew that house used to belong to him before. What happened that the deed never got clear. So he still owned the house. So he wanted to come back and claim it. It's his. Because we just took it over. Took it over and continued taking it over. We never changed, you know, to see who, if he had any claim against it. Sure. See, but Satan cannot come and claim me anymore. Right. Because that deed has been clear. Amen. And the death of Christ and resurrection, that is what do that for me. And I'm so thankful of that. Christ's resurrection, too, is the central principle. It's a core belief. We believe that God resurrected, that he was dead and he's alive. 1 Corinthians 15:4. And that, let me see here, it says 15:4. And that he was buried and that rose again the third day according to the scripture. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Amen. By raising from the grave. Jesus conquered death. And then, that's for me, that's a hope. Because I don't have to die anymore. I will not die. It's a victory over these mortal bodies. See, it gives me hope. See, that death don't have anything to do with me. And that death is not the end of everything. It's just
That is just what is going to transfer me, the door that's going to open me from here to what I want to be anyway. See? So I'm so glad that he conquered. And Paul says in Romans 6:9, he declared, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, died no more. Death had no more what? Dominion over him or over you. Amen. So we should celebrate Easter every morning when you wake up and you say, Satan, you ain't got no business with me. I have resurrected. When he resurrected, I have resurrected. So this is not about a one-year thing. He says, we know that Christ raised from the dead, and we know that we never die again. Sin has nothing to do with us. It's been clear. Our deed has been clear from beginning to end. Like I never died. Never. I'm justified. Never done it. And the grave has no dominion over me. Amen. Because Paul says, if I live, I have another body to go that I'm going to. So right now the real me is in this body. This is the tabernacle, you know, or the Holy Spirit. But this is not my home. I sure not want to be here. My home when I'm away from home, good. But I should not want to be here all the time. See, I like to go. I have another celestial home. And he's there to transfer me from the kingdom of Satan to his kingdom. Amen. Brother Branham says, and he was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. Now, you don't find nothing in the scripture that Jesus said, I'm going to be in the grave for 3 days and I'm going to rise again. At least he communicated that, but indirectly, you know, wasn't directly. In fact, the disciple was wondering when he said, I had to go, but I would set the council on. What did they ask him? Can we go where you're going? See, because he's communicating something, but not in a direct way. See? When he says, if you don't need my flesh and my blood, and everybody went, whoa. But he's trying to communicate some truth, but not directly. See? Later on, you and I, we know what he meant. His body is the bread, and the blood is the wine. You know, we celebrate that until he's coming. But see, they look at him and say, whoa, he's a vampire. 500 of them left. That was their interpretation. Right. See? The flesh interpretation. The disciples didn't know it neither, but they had a clue though. Did you guys want to go too? He said, well, where are we going to go? These guys don't have any life. They don't have a bunch of tradition. They can never do nothing for us. We know who has the words of life. You. So even if we don't know what you're talking about, listen, come to church. Maybe you don't understand. You don't have to understand the entire message. You don't have to understand the entire Bible, but you must believe the Bible and you must believe the message. Because sooner or later it will be known to you, these things. You are growing. We are growing with different levels. See? Do like the disciples say, where are we going to go? But, however, like I said, it was communicated in the Old Testament. And it fully implied that was going to happen, but it was not directly done. Like Jonah. Jonah was a type of him. That Jonah was in the big fish for 3 days. And that's what Jesus told the religious leaders of that day about Jonah. He says, and then the case of Isaac and Abraham, you know, that he took him to sacrifice. That was the type of Jesus being the sacrifice. See, and David said over here in Acts 2:27, he says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. And corruption said after 3 days. So Jesus directly didn't say, I'm going to, you know, die in 3 days, I'm going to raise again. No. But he communicated that indirectly in the scriptures. It being prophesied, so he needed to, those prophecies needed to come to a manifestation. See? He's seen this before
before spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This is quoting from David. David back in Psalm 16:10. Now, Paul is quoting in Acts. And then we have the case of Jesus, like I said, in John 2:16. It says, chapter 2, verse 16, and said unto them that sold dove, take these thin hands, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. He walked into the temple, and they were selling and buying. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign should show thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things? So what a man of, who are you? And with what authority you're telling us to do? We already have an authority that the religious leaders let us do this. So who are you? Show us a sign. Show us a paper from the Sanhedrin. Show us something that said that you had the right, the authority to do this. Well, he says, then he answered to the Jews and said unto him, what sign should thou unto us, seeing that thou do this thing? Jesus answered and said unto them, I will destroy this temple in 3 days, and I will rise her up. I'm sure they just cannot. You know. Then he said, the Jews said, wait a minute. See, this is flesh. Because it's not really telling them what he's going to do. See, it has to be a revelation. God has to reveal these things. God hasn't changed his program. Still has to be a revelation, this word of God. And answer and then destroy this temple. He says, the Jews, 40 and 6 years was this temple in building, and you the rear up in 3 days. But he spake about what? About his body. The temple of his body. So, what we're looking at here, that Brother Branham says that the main thing is not Easter, the tradition. Main thing is not the eggs. Main thing is not all these things. The main thing is life. I'm not saying to stop doing that, but you need to realize that that don't make you better or worse. In fact, sometimes people, you know, come to church and it's all feelings. It's okay, you know, at least come to church. You know, and we can engage on this and Christmas and all these holidays. You know, I tell my family when we get together, I said, this is my favorite, you know, times of the year. And I like to celebrate the 3 F, I call them. Family, fun, and food. That's what I call the celebration. Family, fun, and let's eat, you know. So, there's nothing wrong with family. There's nothing wrong with eating. You gotta eat, you know, you're gonna leave, right? And you can have some fun with your family. That is all it's about. You know, these holidays. And if you're not doing that, you need to do that. You should try that. It's good. No? Well, the problem is, Satan doesn't care how religious you are. Brother Brandon says, can you put it up for me? I'm sorry. I didn't give you a resting of the sun. I don't know where we are. Okay. Satan doesn't care how religious you are. Right. Yeah, I celebrate Easter, you know. Yeah, it's a good thing, you know. And you're doing a religious duty and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I celebrate Christmas. We have to celebrate Christmas. Well, in the Bible, don't say anything about celebrating his birthday. But that's okay. Because in December, also, they used to celebrate the sun, God. And they mixed it up. See, the Catholic Church mixed it up because there was a... Wherever the Catholic Church went in those days, you know, they like to colonize and they like to bring the you know, high priest to make sure they indoctrinate the people that the places they go, you know. You know, even when Christopher Columbus discovered, he had a priest there because the queen wanted to make sure that they need to be colonized, those guys, you know. Meaning that to believe what they believe, see. Christianity propagates their belief. So anyway, that's what happened. That sometimes Satan don't care about religion. Oh yeah, you can keep that son God, but we're gonna change it. Let's put Christ in there.
Okay, check. You're okay. There's no life in that. Satan is very religious. In fact, Cain was the first one that celebrated Easter with his brother. Well, it wasn't Easter, but just suffer me. You know, Cain bring flowers and he bring fruits. And, you know, like Brother Van said, they put bonnets with fruits on top and flower dress. And they put flowers and everything all over. They decorate everything. And Cain did that. See? God didn't like that. See, but what Abel brought, by revelation, that's what God was looking for. Life. Life is in the blood. See, it's all about life. So, God told Cain, you know, I know you don't have a revelation. See, God is so just. He did not blame him for that. In fact, he did not want it to be born. That was, you know, the fathers. So, and God knew, you know, that's not your fault. The way you are, that's not you. We know who the fault is, Satan. But anyway, I don't want you to be lost. I want you to be saved. So listen, if you do what your brother do, I'm going to give you, you know, if you do that, I'll find a place for you. Because God is just. And God loves sinners, and you and I, we better have the same feeling. See, because they don't know what they're doing. That's why he was in the cross and said, forgive them. Those people don't know what's going on. If they knew what was going on, they would be here. But they're wrong. So love them. And Jesus said, okay, do what your brother, and then I find a little room for you in heaven. But he couldn't. He just couldn't. He was angry and bitter because God did not accept his. But he said, do that, imitate. So Brother Brown says, Satan doesn't care how religious you are. See, Cain was the first religious. And, you know, let me tell you this. I'm not against that. Because people go to church not because they want to be bad. I don't care what church you go. You just go to church because you want to be good anyway. It is just a system, you know, that oppressed them that way. You and I, we were oppressed once before. God delivered us from all that oppression. So, it's not their fault, what they believe in or what they're doing. He said, Satan don't care how religious you are and how right you are in your doctrine, see? If you miss that life, yeah, now we're coming to the meaning, what the meaning of Easter is. So if you miss that life, you won't come up anyhow. You know what? I am here because I want to come up. I don't want to waste my time with something else that is not going to bring me up. I don't need religion. I need him and I need his word and I need the truth. But he don't care. He likes to mix it up. Because he knows if he mixes it up, there's no life and you can come up. So if you miss that life, you won't come up anyhow. How many want to come up? No matter how religious, how good, how many churches you have belonged to or will belong to, it doesn't matter one thing unless you have been what? Born again. Paul says, I don't even know what time he's in. Oh, I got time. Anyway, I'll make it up to you tonight. I'll give you a break tonight. So this morning, I got to preach part one and part two that are supposed to be for tonight. Yeah, okay. 1 Corinthians 15:5-8. And that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12. After that, he was seen above 100. And I read this one earlier, 100. Brothers at once, and of whom the greater part remains still in the present, but some are falling asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then of all by the apostles, and last of all, he was seen by me. Okay, hold on, Paul, you wasn't even belong to those 12. How did you wasn't even in that resurrected in that room when he came in. I mean, you didn't even see him going up when the apostles seen him going up when he was alive. So what are you talking about that you've seen him? See, he says, the last of all I was seen of me also. As one born out of due time. He wasn't there present. He wasn't counted with the 12. Later on, he wasn't even chosen by the 12. When Judas died, they did their tricks and everything to get one, and finally Bernabé was the one that was chosen to take the place of Judah. Then even thought about Paul wasn't even in the picture. But Paul was God's choice. And this morning you are God's choice. And we have to be born again from above. See? Paul had a revelation. He had a personal revelation of who Jesus Christ was when he was in that road, and that light came. That was the pillar of fire. He made that pillar of fire that was guiding the children of Israel. Now, the pillar of fire is not God. He was in the pillar of fire. And that light shined and blinded him. And he says, and he knew. He asked who you are, and he asked him, what did you, do this? What did you give? I forgot, I don't have the scriptures here, but actually what he asked was, what are you persecuting me? What are you doing these things? Well, he knew who he was. He recognized the what? The voice. See, sometimes you don't know. It has nothing to do with you. You cannot never make this to happen. In fact, you, like me, was oblivious about a prophet and have a voice. And I mean, you don't even know. We were that day in the world, running around and doing things, rebellious. But one day, we heard a voice. How do you know that voice was that voice? The same way he knew. See, you had to have the same resurrection as he had by being what? Born again by the Spirit. My sheep will hear my what? I don't even know I was one. I was out there, clucking around in the chicken yard. And I was fine. That's all I knew. I knew there would have to be something more, but I didn't know anything about prophets. I didn't know anything about message. And I rode shoulders with them when I came to Tucson. People, when I went to work, they belonged to churches here, message churches, but they never talked to me. It wasn't my time anyway. Don't blame them. It was not my time. God has his season and his time for everything. So my time came, my number came, and he comes at that my number. How do I knew that was his voice? Because I was one of his from the beginning of the foundation of the world. I was in him, predestinated. So when he called, I answered. And I said, who are you? And then finally, just like Paul received his revelation. Maybe not physically with the apostles. He didn't walk with Jesus, but he was called. And you and me has to be called. We have to be born again. If we want to rise up, we have to have the same spirit that was in Christ, that raised him from the dead. The same spirit has to come to us to rise us from the dead. Brother Brown says, Easter, look, at the million on earth that did receive it, that did not receive it when Jesus was here. But how thankful that we should be this morning. Are you thankful this morning? You are blessed. You're more than blessed. You know why? He says we should be this morning to know that we have the direct evidence. Paul had an evidence. I wasn't part of the apostle, but I know I was chosen because I have a direct evidence from heaven, from God himself. I heard his voice. He says, know that we have a direct evidence, and that is a what? The Holy Spirit is our evidence. It's our earnest that God has accepted our faith. He says, the Bible proves, He said that we are included in the great resurrection. I'm glad that this morning I have an earnest. I have a proof that I want to resurrect this morning. People are celebrating. They don't have no clue what that is. But I know what that is for me this morning. I cannot die no more than God can die. I'm going to raise. I don't need an insurance. I need an assurance. And I have an assurance. When they are Brother Branham, that friend, selling insurance, he says, Bill, do you have an insurance? And he says, assurance. Oh, do you have an insurance, life? Assurance. He said, what kind of assurance is that? Well, that's an assurance that don't going to put me in the grave, but it's going to take me out of the grave. And that's what I want this morning. I want the assurance that I'm going to raise up and I want to be with him forever. We have the earnest. The earnest is the down payment. The Holy Ghost is the down payment. You know, when he died and rose again, he said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will send the counselor. And he will teach you. He will show you. He will lead you and guide you on all things. He will take from me and give it to you. So that's what he says. And that's the earnest of our salvation. He said, we have the earnest of it right now in our mortal bodies. The predestinated ones first. Of course, we got to be quickened. Just as Jesus was quickened, the life that quick his body from dead, it has to be me so he can quicken my body just as well. That's what Paul says, I want to know him in the power. That is the power that is residing in our life. You got the Holy Ghost. Because I want to get out of here. I don't want to stay. The predestinated are first, of course, to be quickened when the Holy Ghost Spirit comes to claim his own. It's claiming time. Amen? It's claiming time. Thessalonians 4:15 says, for this we said unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. It's okay to remain, but if we are not alive, we ain't going to get up. You have to make sure that if you're going to remain for the coming, you're alive. That you have the Holy Spirit, that you have been born again. That's your down payment. That's just your assurance that God says, you will be with me wherever I am, what he told the disciples. He says, unto coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, the one that had gone ahead before us. Revelation 2:7. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. And the only reason I want to bring this is to compare. Because it was another tree in the garden, the good, the evil, right? So, his traditions, but also it's a tree of life. And you are alive, and you and I are feasting this morning from the tree of life. We don't have to get there so we can start eating of the tree of life. Right now, we eat of the tree of life, and that life, it should become your life. His life become your life. We're not going to get out of here until we have the character that Jesus has. So, but we are partaking. Every time that Brother Doug gets to study, every time he gets to pray, God give him some manna from heaven, fresh manna for that day. Not something that tradition that was I don't know many years ago, now we're still celebrating that. That has worms on it. But fresh, pray for your pastor because that's what you want. You want fresh manna from the tree of life. That is the word, that is Christ. And that life is the one that is going to sustain you. That life is one that's going to give you what you have need. I come to church because I want that life. I don't know why people sometimes don't come to church. This is how God set it up. This is God's plan. He says, the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise. So we have a choice. Now, let's continue. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I said unto thee, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I'm going through this, you know all this. But maybe somebody here that don't. So just suffer me. Cannot know kingdom of heaven. So you cannot understand the kingdom of heaven unless we have the Holy Ghost. So we can come to church. And if we don't have the Holy Ghost, it's good to come to church. And we pray that you get the Holy Ghost. But in the meantime, you know, there is no understanding. I mean, you understand with your mind because it goes first into your intellect. And you can think about it. And you can say, well, that's what the pastor said. I believe it because he said it. But what about I believe it because he said it? Because that's not the pastor. That's his voice, but that's not the pastor. He says, for what shall a profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and loses his soul? Okay, we can participate in all kind of traditions. We can do all kind of things. But what good is that don't have no life? I'm not saying not do it, but realize that the life is in the Word and not in the traditions. Of course, I like Christmas. Get with family, I told you, I'm not throwing things away. I'm telling you not to do this or that or do Easter. I'm just telling you that there's something far more than that. And you should know that. And I know you do. And then he shall gain the whole world and loses his soul. See, the young rich ruler came and asked Jesus, what can I do? See, what can I do? Because he was adjusted to doing traditions. The 12 commandments, he did them all. See, he was accustomed to do. Tell me what to do, and I do it. And that's what he did, you know. An ethic book, I do this, do this, do this, do this, and you'll be okay. But he knew he was not okay. At that point, he knew he was not okay. So he said, what can I do? But actually, you can do nothing. Because that is God that calls. He says, whatsoever seek a life, lost in the spirit of, the young ruler. So you know how that story ended. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And that's what happened to the young ruler. He said, but I do all this. I go to church and I do all the ritual and I do all my rosaries and all the little bits, you know, and I do all this stuff. I have done it all my life. I do all my commandments. But he knew he had no life. You know when you know you don't have no life and we come to church and nothing change. Whosoever shall seek to save his life will lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. So what is going to cost you? You need to lose your life. You need to die out. And God already made provision for that. See, he conquered over sin and death. So they don't have no more dominion. You have a choice. You don't have to obey that guy any longer. You don't work for that guy anymore. See? He made provision for us today. But it's going to cost me my life. It's free, but it's going to cost you, like Brother Doug said, it's going to cost you everything you have if we want this life. It is the spirit that quickens the flesh. It is not the traditions. It's the spirit that quickens the flesh. The flesh what? Profit nothing. You can have a good time today, and I'm not saying not to. Have a good time with your family, Christmas and holidays. But remember, when it comes to the things of God, that won't profit nothing. Only that you get full, and then you get a stomachache, and then I ate too much, and I don't feel good. That's the only thing you're going to get out of that. You know, it says, the word that speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This is what you want. This is what we understand. That the resurrection, and today, as the world celebrates Easter, what we want is the life. Now, if I have the life, then I know how to conduct myself. See? So that is the meaning of life. Brother Paul says in Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that rise up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that rise up Christ from the dead, that I was God in him, the spirit of God, shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Roman, and I'm not going to comment this, Roman 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if a man has not the spirit of Christ, it's none of his. Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abides forever. Romans 1:18. Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth. I was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. I can say the same thing. I was dead in sins. See? But behold, I'm alive this morning. Forevermore. And says, and I have the key of hell and death. So he conquered. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for me. Victory over sin and death this morning. Now, I'm almost getting that. Dangerous close, whatever I can do that. I call heavens on earth to record this day against you. You that are listening to my voice. That I have set before you life. I have shown you that life is what is important. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and thy seed and thy family may live. Amen. You know what? You have the power in your tongue to do right or not to do right. You have the choice. And that you have the power because it's a choice. And God gave you that choice. See, in the beginning, you have free moral agent. God will not take that out of you. He gave it to us. Because you have the power in your mouth to decide what you want to do with your life right now. Don't blame your father. Don't blame your mother. You're big enough now. You understand what I'm talking about. You know, we can blame. Well, I'm sorry because that was not my fault. Well, you have a choice to make this morning. And that choice is take life or take death. God has given you that, and that is powerful. Because God cannot even intervene in your choice. He cannot, I mean, God, so powerful creator, he cannot even force you or make you. That is a choice, and you have the power this morning to decide which way you're going to go. But remember, in that day, you have no excuse because you and me have the power to choose this morning. And I choose life. He said, and I'm glad that he that rise up Christ this morning has the power to restore my life. Has the power to give me life. In fact, he restored my life and he's going to transform my life. But I got to make the choice. You got to make the choice. It is in your lap, you know, to make that choice. God will not force. So we are this morning dead in sins and alive in Christ. John 14:9. Because I live, you shall live also. You shall also be quickened. It shall make us alive, says Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, died no more. Death had no more dominion over us. I read you this before, because that is our future hope, see? Easter, and that's what Easter will remind me and my body, see? That even though I'm mortal, God is going to transform me. And that's what I come to church, because I want the words of life that will transform me. Amen. And the mortality will dress up immortality, imperishable. See, he's the first fruit that trampled over death, Jesus Christ.
But there's a bunch of it that are going to come behind. See? 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 57. Behold, I show you a mystery. I like mysteries anyway. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Change. The change is not going to be the day that he's coming and say, oh, you change. Oh, change. No. As we are the tree of life, the word is life, our bodies started changing. This is not something that is going to happen at the end. Okay, you're done. Come on. No, it's not a little magic wand. You're done. No. Now, this is the day, see, that we live and let that life change us. Behold, I show you a mystery, that you not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In that moment, in that twinkle of our, in the day of the rapture, that is our Easter. We are waiting for our Easter, the real Easter, the day that we are going to leave these bodies like he did, and we're going to go to heavenly places. In a moment and a twinkle of an eye, and the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But the change is gradually. You know, that's why we are here. The word of God is changing me. From glory to glory, the word is changing me. But when it's going to come a day, that change is going to be over. See? The Bible says, 53, for this corruptible, 54, so when this corruptible shall have put in corruption, and this mortal shall have put in mortality, that's resurrection, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death has been swallowed up by what? Victory. You should have victory tonight, this morning. You should be in victory because death has been swallowed. They had nothing to do with you. Oh, death. Where is your sting? God took the sting. You know, Brother Doug was saying, when that snake beat him in the leg, in the ankles, because that was a prophecy, the first one given in the, God says, you know, you shall, and he shall, anyway, I need to go back to those scriptures. Anyway, I have been a senior moment right now because I don't have it here though. But anyway, in the cross, he hit his head with his foot, but the snake, Brother Doug said, he beat him in the ankle. But that was the poison of death, of sin. He took it all completely in him. So we are, it says over here, corruptible and swallow up in victory. Death, oh, what is your sting? See, Satan lost his sting. You know, he cannot kill you unless God allows. He cannot touch you. Why? Because if you are hidden, remember the hidden treasure, that brother, you are hidden in where? In Christ. And if he wants to come and get you, he needs to become your brother. And he's not going to go that far. Why? Because he no longer, see, have anything to do. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thank God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. You should be blessed because that's your future hope. He triumphs over darkness. Light triumphs over darkness. And he promised us eternal life. And he told us that death is not the end. It is time to rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who offers redemption and the assurance of life beyond the grave this morning. You should be the most happy people in this earth. I'm almost done. Dangerous. So, what are we going to do? That was my message. So, what are we going to do after the message? We're going to go for an Easter egg hunt. Oh, you went crazy, Brother Eli. You told us tradition. No, we're going to hunt for eggs. I taught you all this, and this is what you're going to do. So, has God and every age ordained his church for the age? Can you put that for me? Because this is my last We're going to go in an egg hunt extravaganza. Yes. I don't care what color. Blue, white, brown, yellow. We're going to go looking for eggs. So has God in every age ordained his church for that age? A message for that age, and they could have laws and anything that they want to. But when the hour comes, the Holy Spirit of God, who was in the beginning, threw out and spoke out to that age, that spiritual, you think I was crazy? Huh? That spiritual hung that what? That spirit will hunt that egg. So we are going to hunt for eggs. You are put over here to go and have an Easter resurrection message, and then go and get some eggs. And when he hear the message, who? The little eaglet that the farmer, when I took it from the mother eagle and put it in the chicken. You remember that story, right? Because for time, I didn't want to put it in. But that eaglet was out there, and he got hushed. And he just acted like the chicken. That's all he knew. Chicken, chicken. But one day, the mother knew that he had another egg. And he went looking for that egg. See, that's a mother. Mother always. I know I had another egg. See, he went for that egg. Went hunting for that egg. And when that egg heard that mom eagle, you know, calling him up, he says, it's just like, and when he hears that message, see, and you and I was the same thing. At some point, we were eaglets, eggs, out there in the religious, in the denomination. And you can be harsh, by the way, in the denomination. Brother Brown said, you can take a dog and you can tie down and put an egg on there and it will harsh. Because it's not the dog, it's not the denomination, it is the atmosphere. So anyway, let's leave that there. So hear the message, there is no church denomination to hold it. See? And that's what happened to me. I was hatched in the Baptist, but I know I was missing something. Something did not satisfy me until I came to Tucson, until. Because this is the place and the time that God wanted me 30 years ago. And when he heard the message, there's no church denomination to hold it. It will rise to the height. It is got to. You know? It is a different bird. It's a different creature. He is an eagle. And he hears the scream. And my sheep, we hear my voice. And someone said, Brother William, sheep food. You know? So this morning, we are looking for the last egg. It could be here. We need to hash it. You have to provide the atmosphere so we can hash that egg and we get out of here. We're looking for the last egg. And when you go out there at school, at work, I don't care where you go, we are looking for the last egg. There is somewhere, I don't know if it's in Africa, I don't know if it's in Mexico, I don't know if it's in Spain, I don't know if it's in Alaska, I don't know where the last egg is. Because we don't know, we better go and look for an egg. It could be here in Tucson. But since we don't know who is, we go and spread the gospel news to see if we can find the last egg and we get out of here. So, happy Easter hunt extravaganza. That is your mission. Knowing all this, go and find the last one so I can get out of here. Rise up. Thank you. So I have delivered my heart, so now I am. Can go home and relax. I don't have to come to church, so I can, you know, kind of chill out in my couch the rest of the afternoon. What's wrong with the chill out, hermana? I'm not talking I'm going to eat chilies. Chill out means to cool. I'm just joking, man. It's just the way I do things and I pronounce things. It's just my way. Yeah. Usually Puerto Ricans, that's the way we are. We happy people. We don't have to have excuse to celebrate or be happy. Anything is good to celebrate. I don't care what it is. Bad, good, or evil, we celebrate anyway. We are happy people. If you ever go to that island, let me know. You can relax. So, this morning I like to sing a song. You sung that song. Where are you at? Because he lived. Well, I want to sing another one.
He lives within my heart. I don't know how, what. Can you put that in the, yeah. Let's sing that song before we, and you can come and lead it because I'm done. Okay. Love you. Have a good Easter. Happy Easter to you guys and your families and family, fun and eat. But don't forget, go and get some eggs. Spiritual ones. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate you guys.